Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in 2 Corinthians, and we're in chapter 5. We trust you'll have your Bible open, and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
It's because of this courage that we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Now, this word or labor is very interesting. You might circle it and put in your margin what it means. It means that we love the honor. And the labor concept is there because what he's saying is we love this honor to be in a foreign country. It's suggested by the verse before, but the word is philos. We get the word Philadelphia. Phila is love. Brother is Delphos. Philadelphia. Phila. And it has the secondary term, Timae. We get Timothy's name. It means to be honored. To honor somebody. It means to love the honor. We love the honor. Now, courage says, I love the honor to represent him right now. I love the honor to be in this mess down here because he saved me and he wants to save them. And we are courageous because we know. Now listen, the way you get to know these things is not by having a dream. It's not by having a feeling. It's not by hoping that all the things you heard the preacher say are true. It's by reading the Word of the living God. God represents for us everything we need to know in His pages of His Word. Everything that we need to know so that we can have courage. If I have no courage, it's probably because I'm not quite sure what I'm entering into. If you're out there in the winter, and I hate even talking about winter because I'm tired of the cold. But what I want to say to you is if you have a pond that is frozen over. You're like maybe when you were younger, you can remember those days when you wanted to go out. And many of us in this room remember you went outside to play. You know, that's what we used to do. And I know, weird, right? And when the pond was frozen over, you might even say, man, can we get some skates? Anybody get your skates? You want to go out and do. But the fact is that maybe you remember going out and falling through, one foot going through. Hopefully nothing more serious. And maybe having to walk back home with your foot frozen because you went down. What I'm saying is you were overconfident for all the wrong reasons, but you don't have to be that with God because He's given you Genesis to Revelation. We not only know how it began, we know how it's going to end. We not only know that there is a Savior, we know who He is. And we know where He is. And we know what He's doing. We know we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and He is constantly representing us before the Father because the devil, the diabolos, is constantly accusing us before the Father's throne day and night. And I begin to realize not only that, but because all that's going on, I begin to put a brick to brick and I say, there are angels, there are demons, there's a battle going on. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You see the continuum. It's all there and it's written down and it's not hope so, it's no so. And I begin to interact with that. And it animates my life because now I have a purpose for being here. It's not just about taking up space. It's not just about painting the fence. It's not just about mowing the lawn. Praise the Lord. Oh, man, I used to threaten to go out and pave my lawn when my kids went out because I didn't have anybody to mow it. I'm going to pave my lawn. No, I don't mind it so much. But it is funny how we are. We get caught up in the mundane, in the ordinary. We think this is the end-all, be-all of it all, but it isn't. Jesus is King. He's coming again. There's coming a kingdom. And when that kingdom dawns, we're going to be there with Him. And if we've served Him well, He says if we suffer with Him, we're going to reign with Him. Some are not going to reign with Him. I'm convinced of that. Because they've not done anything for their Lord. They've not suffered. They've not entered into the courage. And sometimes it's because they haven't gotten into the Bible. The stories of the Word of God are those things that animate us. We know that David fell, but he rose back up and got out of the ashes. And he lived for God, wrote songs, and flew higher than ever he had before. Because now it was all about God, and not just partly about God. He loved God always, but when he had broken wings, he said, "You made the bones that you have broken to rejoice." The Lord is my shepherd. He restoreth my soul. He was real to David in a way he never was before. And it was a whole new level. The Bible says, wherefore, verse 9, we labor. We count it an honor to be absent, to be abroad, to be in this world that is messed up. That whether we be present or whether we be absent, we may be accepted of Him. Now that word means fully agreeable to Him. You know, there's a lot of Christians who have not become fully agreeable to the Lord. Why? Because they're not doing what the Lord's doing. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you get these children in the city and they're going somewhere and they got all the kids holding onto the rope. You know what's really nerve-wracking for the teacher is the kid who lets go of the rope. Okay. And so, though God's never panicked and God never is worried about His children, He does sometimes have to leave the 99 and go get the one. That's a sheep of His. That one is out there. But it sure takes a lot of time. Right? Burn some time. We need to be fully agreeable to Him. We need to be the kid who's standing there with our hand on the rope because we know it's not for nothing. There's dangers afoot. You know, the lamb that's away from the flock's the one the devil goes for, right? The wolves like that one. And sometimes people, they say, well, I don't want to join a church. Well, the reason you joined a church is for the safety of being part of a flock. Not only are you accountable, but also you can use your gifts in that body when you are a member of a local assembly. We don't press it. I realize people don't join things today. They don't even get married today.
Sometimes in our culture.
But I'm saying to you that the body of Christ is a local body where you can use your gifts. You can get that pleasure. You can be fully agreeable to Him. What can I do? And we should think about that. But I don't press it because you have to have God in there saying things to you. I mention it when it comes into my way. Tithing, going to church, praying. Is that something I need to say? No, I don't need to say it. But we ought to all be thinking, how can I be fully agreeable to Him? How can I be useful, serviceable? The Bible says in verse 10, for we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That every one should receive the things done in his body, whether it be good or bad. Now, part of the motivation for my message today probably comes from a radio broadcast I heard this past week. It was a radio broadcast called The Christian Worldview. It's on Saturdays, and some of you hear that. And maybe you heard this one. It was Alistair Begg interacting with a man named Dennis Prager, who's a radio show host. I found it very fascinating for Alistair Begg. I think he's an amazing guy, but I don't agree with him on some very important issues, okay? But when I'm hearing him interact with Dennis Prager, who is a Jewish talk radio host, this man is talking to him about works. And because of the framework Alistair comes from, he can't remember this verse that's before us right now. That we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That we may receive in our bodies the things which are done, whether they be good or evil. Because the Jewish man was beginning to say things like, well, you believe in works and I believe in works. I just believe that it's a means of salvation. You believe it's something else. But we all believe that Christians ought to work. And because of the theology that Alistair has, he has to kind of argue this. He says that works are the basis for the lost man who has a religion that is works-based. He says works are the basis. But he would say, they're not the basis. And he's right. Works are not the basis for our salvation. But what did he say? He says works are the evidence of salvation. And you say, well, yeah, the Bible says, by their works you shall know them. Yes. But it doesn't say if they don't have works, they're not saved. That's an important distinction. Because here it says some are going to receive for the evil they're done. Not that they're going to be lost. They're going to receive something. What the Bible say later? It says that our works are going to pass through the fire, and some will be saved yet so as by fire. And if you see that person who's going to be saved yet so as by fire, if you'd have looked at him on earth, you might not have seen a lot of works. That make sense? Some are going to be saved yet so as by fire. What about the guy? 1 Corinthians 5. He was having a relationship with his stepmother. Yeah, everybody's, hey, yeah, you know, you got liberty. Paul says, listen, you need to put that one out of the church. You need to separate him unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh that the soul might be saved. That man? Saved? What? Listen, I want you to understand that the grace of God is awesome. It has nothing to do with our works. You cannot work your way to heaven. All our righteousness, the Bible says, are as filthy rags. Here's what's true. That the evidence of our salvation is chastening. God spanks His children. He scourges those. He takes some home early if they must needs go early. Like 1 Corinthians 5. Separate him unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the soul might be saved. Destroy that flesh. When the person gets out there like that little lamb, the devil jumps all over him, the wolves jump all over him, pretty soon it's a mess, and they can self-destruct. My point is this. When I'm looking at this, I think some people look at their Christian life and they abuse the idea of grace. I get it. It's easy to do. In fact, they accuse Paul of doing that when he said, some are writing and saying, well, why not sin that grace may abound? Because where sin abounds, grace must more abounds. He says, God forbid. Do you know what you give up when you don't walk with God and you have an empty grace? You give up the free flow of your life. Jesus said, I am come to you, might have life and might have it more abundantly. There is nothing more amazing than walking from day to day, knowing that the Lord has your back. Knowing that He wants to keep you in the game because you have a word on your lips. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of them that bring good news. You and I are here as ambassadors. We're not here for ourselves. We're here for our families. We're here for our spouses. It's not about you. It's about them. And that's what distinguishes the believer from the religious person who is working their way to heaven. They're doing good works to kind of void out some bad ones. For you and me, we do good works because we love Him. We count it an honor to be here. We've been wrought, created for immortality. And one day we're going to be swallowed up in that immortality, and it's all going to be in the books, and we're going to have a story to tell. Look what it says. It says in verse 10 about the judgment seat of Christ. The Greek word is bema. It's where they would appear in the Greek games to receive an award. Some are going to receive a silver, some are going to receive gold, and some are going to receive the bronze. You remember Jesus talking about the soils. He said some of the seed's going to fall on the wayside. The devil's going to take them. Those people aren't saved. Some is going to fall among thorns, and they love the pleasures of the world, as it were, in the thorns, and it chokes out the word, and they just wither. You ever seen a withered Christian? They have no lip. They have no joy. They're walking through life just trudging. Why? Because they're not happy because they know who they are deep down. But the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1 that if they haven't added to their faith virtue, knowledge, self-control, and on, He says, listen, those people become short-sighted even unto blindness, forgetting they were washed from their sins. So even they don't have any evidence. So for me to say that the evidence of a Christian is fruit, it's not the evidence. It's an evidence. But if they don't have fruit, that doesn't necessarily mean they're lost. And what I'm saying in regard to what I mentioned a moment ago about that radio broadcast is I believe the Bible is very clear about what the truest mark of a Christian is. It's chastening. He says, for whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and He scourges every son that He receives. And if you are without chastening, then you are not saved. And it's not the evidence that other people are going to see. You're going to know it. And the misery that you might have because you've been choked by the pleasures of this world is your own misery. And it might cost you a whole lot. What about the seed that fell on the stony ground? That was scorched. The world smacks them around all the way through life. Why? Because they don't belong here, but they don't even know they don't belong here. But what about the person who gets the good ground? 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, bema seat, gold, silver, bronze. I'm just saying to you that when we look at this passage, He says, we count it an honor to be here. We are courageous because we understand what's going on. And then He goes on and He says in verse 11, He says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Now, many people read that and they think that means God is terrifying to the believer. No. Not that we're terrified, but that we understood that God's wrath is something the world doesn't have a clue they're heading for, and that they would be terrified if they only knew.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.